Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Hercules Invictus and Athena Victory celebrate the mythic impulses of ancient Greece and Rome, and they invite you to celebrate with them. Welcome to Voice of Olympus.
I'm Hercules Invictus.
And I'm Athena Victory.
Thank you for joining us and welcome to the Voice of Olympus e-radio show on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Tonight we are going off in a bold new direction with celestial lions and other cat people. And we've actually had a very long history of doing things with feline spirituality, starting with barbarian werecat Wicca, which is something that we were doing way back in the day, and I guess we're still doing it.
Yeah, it's kind of a routine, but I like it.
Yes, and then we have Sabretooth's Pride, which is Athena's baby, and that's going through various incarnations as a Yahoo group and as a website, and now it's on Facebook.
Facebook, and also there's several pages on Pinterest for Sabretooth's Pride that has some of the best of the illustrations and photographs that I've had, and I've of course found a lot more when I started doing Pinterest.
Awesome. I love the pictures that you find. And we also have the Lions of Olympus Facebook group, so you can start getting involved through any of those portals if you're interested in learning more about this, or if you're a cat person yourself. And I'm very honored that today we have Thomas Lionheart Ponton, one of the few lions that I've met in my sojourn. It's pretty lonely being a lion on this planet. There's the Lions Club International, of course, and other organizations, but very few people actually embody the leonine spirituality. So I'm really honored to have met Thomas, and I'm glad that he's here tonight. Greetings, Thomas.
Greetings and well met, Hercules. It's an honor to be on your show.
Well, thank you very much. And this is, we've come full circle. When I first started going public again, you were the person who interviewed me and granted me a wider voice. So I'm very honored to be able to do the privilege with you tonight.
Yeah, almost 4 years ago. Can you believe it? I mean, talk about the circle of life.
Yeah, time flies by very quickly, and a lot of good things have happened to you in those 4 years. I remember when we were talking way back then, you were looking for a spiritual home. You seem to have found it. You found the community, and you've experienced a lot of nurtured growth in that community. So that's very awesome. Few people find that.
Yes, I've been part of a few other groups here and there. I mean, right now I'm a member of the Coven of the Order of the Aurora, which is part of the Spiritry tradition. It's mostly in North Dakota. We have a portion in Wichita, Kansas, and we're also expanding out to the Washington State area as well. But I'm a member of the Order of the Aurora Coven, and they've become like my second family.
And how long has this tradition been in existence?
This is be going on now for, it would be 8 years. So it's had it's had quite the run.
And it's spread pretty far, too. That's a lot of different places where it's taken root.
Yeah, initially started in Grand Forks, North Dakota, and it expanded out first out to Rugby, North Dakota, which is like a couple hours away from there. And then we also just recently last year we added a coven in Wichita, Kansas, and then now we'll have a couple members over that moved to Washington State. So we're expanding by leaps and bounds, and we're quite happy for that.
I'm happy for you. For folks who usually listen to our show, we cover a wide variety of spiritualities, the cosmic spiritualities, the earth spiritualities. Do you want to describe a little bit the spirituality that you ascribe to for your coven?
We do a lot of dedication to the many areas about it. We accept, you know, a lot of training, you know, everyone in like a third degree system. Our roots are mostly Alexandrian, and we worship the British traditional style. We also draw inspiration from the fairy tradition and experience unique talents of our cover mates. And especially for those of us that have been teaching our cover members, we've had a wide range of knowledge and wisdom throughout the ages.
And if someone's interested in joining such a community, because I know it took you several false starts till you finally found your place, what type of advice do you have for people who are seeking and are looking for that type of community?
The best thing is to always keep an always open mind, and there's you never can run out of, you know, information to learn. I mean, I've been going at it. I just celebrated my 10th anniversary of studying paganism 10 years ago, and I feel like I'm still new to all this, always finding new things to learn.
Yeah, there's an endless amount of things to learn, and there's a lot of creativity, there's a lot of history, there's a lot of mythology, there's a lot to absorb and to integrate, and then to use that as inspiration for creativity.
Yes, that's right. And you know, not to promote it, but if you are in the North Dakota or Wichita, Kansas, or the Washington State area, and if you are looking to see about joining the coven, you can go to spiraltreetradition.com, and it'll have our information, and you can, there's an app, there's a form you can apply, and we can hopefully get to know you.
Awesome. I wish I lived nearby. The pictures that you show are awesome, and the information you share through your own podcast is awesome. And a lot of times I wish we lived like a short drive away so that we could experience these things firsthand and not secondhand.
If we had Pegasus to fly over here, we could do that in a heartbeat.
I will work on that.
My podcast is the Great North Pagan Podcast. It was originally, the idea was thrown around when we had our very first Pagan Pride Day in 2011, and I've had a couple other people as co-hosts with me. I'm just running it by myself and just discussing about different knowledge of the different forms of paganism through the different history of the different Sabbaths, different forms. Like the most recent episode, I talked about the different types of grounding and centering.
And it's instructional, it's informational, and it's also interfaith in that there are a lot of traditions. People don't realize that there are a variety of pagan traditions, just like there are Christian denominations, and they're not the same.
Exactly. And what's interesting about Wiccan paganism, there's more than one way you can do it. For example, like some people will draw the circle. Other people will open and close the gate during a ritual, for example. That was something I kind of learned about that I thought was interesting.
And you're doing a great service by having a podcast because it acts as a portal where people can learn more and connect.
Exactly. That's also what it poses whenever we do a ritual and all that, and we get a chance to record that. I'll upload that so that if, for people that are new to it, have never seen a Wiccan or Pagan ritual, this is a good way to see it. It gives you a good idea of what it's like, and it's not as bad as some people think that it is.
Up in the Northwest, you get the standard questions where people are curious, like, do you dance naked in the woods? You know, that we're asked, I think, more often than any other question out here in the Northeast.
well, technically speaking, the term is skyclad, but but every once in a while it does. But yeah, we just, you know, we try to keep the professional tone and try to explain as best we can. And I mean, for some people, they do dress up in like a ritual attire. I mean, I do myself, but then some people just will dress casually. And if that's where you feel that you want to represent yourself to the gods, then that's the way you do it.
Now, how does your Leonine spirituality play out? Does it play out at all through the paganism?
It does, because I mean, I do see like for example, my coven is like my pride of lionesses. I mean, it's an interesting story. When I was growing up, I always have felt that I had a connection to the lion. Like when I was in third grade, I was in a little class, and we had all these circus-themed erasers. Each of us students got, and I got a lion standing on his hind legs. For some reason, something told me, don't use it, just treasure it. And I have it stashed away somewhere.
Awesome.
And so later on, when I was in my senior year in high school, one night over the weekend, I had this dream where I went into the backyard, and this big gray lion shows up, and he says to me, would you like to ride on my back? And I said, I would. And I got on his back, we rode on off, and it was that dream that kind of clicked in me that it felt like as if the lion was part of my spirit. And
awesome.
Especially studying to paganism, it's felt like I've kind of had that, I kind of call it lion sense, kind of like Spider-Man has a spidey sense, where I've kind of had that empathic instance of, well, like how a lion will see his surroundings, his prey, his predators, and all that. How I can feel like if this person should be considered my friend, or should be considered maybe someone I should be careful about. And that's kind of been my natural instinct about it. And like what you said, I've always have felt the lone lion around here, especially when I know that a fair share of my pagan friends are, you know, like wolves and birds and all that. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It's just that this cat feels a little lone out here, but I'm in good company anyway.
We have the internet, so it's lions and other cat people can connect.
Yeah, I'm thankful for the internet, because then it feels like I can finally reach out and find some fellow lions out there.
Now, I first met you as Lion Lord, and now you're Lion Heart. The lion's still there, and you are very lordly, and you have a great heart. So why the switch of names?
Well, that was an interesting story. When I first got to meet the Order of the Aurora Coven, they were doing some open Sabbaths. So that, you know, like anyone personally that was not really in the coven could walk in and they can be part of the ritual or witness it. And as I got to know the Order of the Aurora, the high priestess, her name is called, who goes by the name of Phoenix, she kept on not remember my name as Lion Lord. She kept on calling me Lion Heart. And it kind of went with a suggestion as I was getting to my first degree, and she and some of the other coven members suggested that, because I've cared so much about others more so than my own, that instead of being one like a lord, I'm more, you know, caring like my heart. So when I did get to my first degree, that was officially the name change from Lion Lord to Lion Heart instead.
That's a nice story.
Mm-hmm.
And you are a very caring individual. I can personally vouch for that.
I do try.
Well, you succeed quite well.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We are going to be starting two initiatives. One of them we've been working on and off maybe a decade and a half to get it to the point where it's now. And that's going to be Pride of Olympus. And the pun is intended, because a bunch of lions together is a pride. And that's going to focus a lot on the cosmic spiritualities, the spiritualities that deal with ascension and apotheosis.
Mm-hmm.
And I am going to be inviting as many celestial lions as I can find and inspire to join in that particular effort, because the Leonine spirituality is very much hardwired into humanity, or at least some of humanity, and it has a very vast and interesting metaphysical background. So I'd really like to bring that to the surface a little bit more. And then the other one is Temenos. And Temenos means the same thing as Nemeton, except Temenos is Greek and Nemeton is Celtic. But it's essentially a sacred space. And wherever we've moved, after we've settled in a little, we start to establish our sacred space. So we're establishing our Temenos here more visibly. And there, too, I want to find as many celestial lions and other cats as I can find, because I'm a celestial cat myself, and my wife is as well. So would you be interested in either or both of those endeavors, O Lionheart?
I would be most honored to be part of that as Lionheart.
Awesome. So I will keep you filled in on the details.
And I think it's only proper that we should do this, especially since just recently they actually added the lions to the endangered species list, especially after what happened last year, unfortunately, to poor Cecil.
Yeah.
That their numbers have been dwindling.
Do you want to share that tale for folks who don't know about it?
For those of you who don't know, Cecil lion was this lion in the Zimbabwe park in Africa. And he was kind of a celebrity lion. There was at this park, you could actually go, and Cecil would just walk out from his pride. And from what I understand, you could actually go out and pet him. Well, unfortunately, about around this time last year, there was this hunter who actually was from the state next door to me in Minnesota, who is this dentist. And he paid $50,000 to get a couple hunters, and apparently paid off also the guy that was the head of the park that Cecil was in. And they tricked Cecil to come out of the park, shot him with an arrow, watched as he staggered around in pain for 45 minutes until he collapsed, and they beheaded him.
Ooh.
And he got a lot of outrage, and he tried to say that, well, I didn't know he was a popular lion, but he got major protests. They had to shut down his dentist business place for quite some time until it blew over, and from what I've understood, last thing I've heard, he is not. He's had to boost security over his three houses that he owns in different parts of the country and all that. He's not going to have a decent life ever since after what he did.
None of the big game hunters who have posted stuff with showing holding up an elephant's severed tail or holding up dead leopards and stuff like that. That gets all over the internet, and they got to realize that. Most people don't see it their way, that this is a fun thing to do, killing animals like that.
There was actually a picture I posted on my Facebook, actually, where it was sort of a comparison of these, like, which person would you like more? And then you see this one woman with a dead lion. But then you see this one woman, she's actually standing right next to a lion that's just panting all happy and all that. And I said, I'd date the woman that's with the live lion any day. So.
What was ironic was
like a few weeks ago, actually, there was a Pride Alliance that actually killed five poachers that were trying to go after them.
Well, lions have come to the rescue of people, even. There was a girl that was in, I want to say, Maasai country. They had surrounded her and they were going to gang rape her, and a pride of lionesses showed up. And pretty much held the guys at bay and scared them off. And they left the girl alone. She was just in the middle of all these lionesses. And this happened several years ago, but it was amazing that the lioness just, you know, said, oh, forget this. And they just, like, protected the girl. It was amazing.
And recently there was an incident with a circus that they were terrorizing the lions.
This is a PETA ad that's going out now. An awareness thing that they had. It was about they had secret cameras that they filmed a place in China where they train animals for circuses, and they were practically hanging these bear cubs. They had chains around their necks so the bears could not go on all four paws because they're teaching the bears to walk erect. And the lions and tigers, they absolutely terrorize and beat them and do all sorts of horrible things to them. So they learned to be afraid of people, so they do the stupid trick like let's jump through the flaming hoop and all this other thing. I'm of two minds with things like that. It's like a lot of people, their first contact or awareness of these great animals like lions and tigers happen because they've gone to a circus or zoo. But the thing is, they're not happy in the circus or zoo. You see,
no, they aren't.
Even the lions in zoos are very stressed out. There's another thing going around now. This little girl, there's a big male lion on the other side of the glass, and she kissed the glass, and the lion totally freaked out. He stood on his hind legs and was paddling on the glass, and he would have shredded her if he could have, because, you know, children
well,
are snacks.
Yeah, well, that was where I remember that. Like, there was this, like, this little, it was like a two-year-old girl that she was wearing this coat that was black and white striped, and this lion
tying at the wall.
And what was something was the mother was on the Today Show, and she said, "Oh, that was just so cute of how it's happening." I'm like, "Lady, you're that lioness is seeing your daughter as like a zebra calf."
Yeah, people grossly misinterpret the way animals react in captivity, and almost all the animals you see in zoos, they're showing stress behavior. When an elephant starts swaying, it's stressed. It doesn't mean it's bopping to the music. It's a neurotic behavior. And it's really sad because I know people, I actually know a zookeeper even, loves the animals, would do anything she could to help them. But then you get these zoos, and especially these private menageries, are absolutely horrible. And that's where unfortunately, where a lot of lions and tigers end up, is these private menageries.
Well, the good news, at least about in the case of with Cecil, was that he had a brother, a lion brother named Jericho. And thankfully, Jericho apparently knew something happened, that Cecil was not coming back. So, because people were concerned about the cubs, because usually in a pride, if the leading lion is dead, the next lion in line will kill the cubs. Well, Jericho must have thought, well, Cecil's not coming back, so I'll take care of the cubs. And they did a Where Are They Now, and the cubs are getting to adolescence, and Jericho's just taking care of them just fine. So at least Cecil's legacy will live on.
Yeah, that's amazing, because I think there was like 12 cubs involved, and they thought that all those cubs would have died.
Mm-hmm.
So it shows you that animals are individuals too, and just because a behavior is typical of an animal might choose to do something totally different than atypical.
And I think that's only appropriate that, you know, I got renamed to Lionheart, because, you know, some people think that the lion is kind of like a fearsome beast and all that. But intently speaking, they are very caring animals. It's just that they're just protecting what they care for the most.
Does your tradition work with totems as well?
Oh, yes, very much so. I mean, a lot of us members have, like, a lot of times an animal or some mythical creature that we link up to and we're part of. And so it's kind of an interesting collection of animals in a sense.
What type of mythic creatures?
Well, like, my high priest is a phoenix. And then, like, one of our members is mostly connected to the fairy or the fae folk with sorts. And then we have a wolf and a fox. And I think another one's a bear. And then one of our other high priests is a peacock, actually.
Sacred to Hera.
Well, not the Hera specifically, but for her familiar is the peacock. So it's kind of interesting that our two major high priestesses are birds, actually, but one form or another.
And that is a long tradition, too, of women and goddesses being associated with birds.
With birds, yes.
Mm-hmm.
From the Sumer of earliest antiquity until the present. Now,
and that was...
Go ahead.
Well, I think we were going to lead into that was about Athena, and that was kind of one of our requirements, was that we would pick a god and a goddess. Now, for the god, I have to agree, man. I've worked with him, and especially to Serenos, is the Celtic version of the Green Man. For the goddess, it was a tough call because I've worked with Raiden, but I also worked with Athena, and I decided to choose upon her because I kind of relate to her. I usually go with the diplomatic solution first, then go in and fold the battle. That's like plan B. And I'm always one to always share my knowledge, what I've known of her, just like she is always has a great library of knowledge of the ages. And much like I did for my podcast episode for my coven, I've channeled her, and if you watch the video, you see me as her telling about the story about Prometheus. Mm-hmm. Generally speaking, she was there to witness it, as it all has unfolded.
If you send me the link to that again, Thomas, I'll post it with the podcast.
Oh, certainly. I'll give you the link to the podcast as well as also the Sprout Tree Edition if anyone's interested.
And in addition to the other changes that are coming to the Voice of Olympus, we're going to have a monthly feature where we're going to discuss the gods and goddesses specifically within one tradition and then crossing traditions. Back in mm-hmm. antiquity, my ancestors, the first thing they did was they would create understanding and connections by looking at similarities. So wherever they found a warrior goddess, there's Athena. Wherever they found a muscle man with a lion skin, oh, there's Hercules. And so they would mm-hmm. recognize their gods and other people's gods and build a bridge to greater understanding. So that's how I've always done things personally, and as policy, that's how we've done things.
So the Greek version of, say, the Green Man or Kononos or Theranos would be Pan, maybe.
Pan, yeah.
Pan, yes.
Yeah, Pan means everything, and he's the god of nature. So, of course, he was demonized by the newer religions because, he was so powerful, and he was, nature incorporates humanity, and incorporates the animal kingdoms, mm-hmm. it incorporates the plant kingdoms. So all of these depictions, weave these there. Pan had his pipes, which represented the vegetable kingdom, and the dryads and other tree spirits and rock spirits and so forth. They were part of this mm-hmm. kingdom as well. And we're running out of time, and so I'm definitely going to have you on again and again and again. So you've been recruited, Thomas Lionheart, into this unfolding adventure.
Well, I'm great to be part of the adventure, Herc. I'm very honored.
And how can folks, I know you mentioned it during the half hour, but how can folks get in contact with you, and then how can they get in contact with your coven, and how can they watch your podcast and access your wonderful pictures?
Well, if you go on YouTube, look up Great North Pagan Podcast. I have a website on paganspace.net. It's like the MySpace of pagans. You can go on Twitter at N as in Nancy Pagan Podcast. And then again, if for the Spiral Tree Tradition, go to spiraltreetradition.com. And that has all the information about our coven leaders and how to contact us.
And what is new and exciting coming up in the days ahead for you and for your coven?
The biggest thing we're going to be doing is in about just a little bit over a month, we are having the next Pagan Pride Day in Moorhead, Minnesota. And we did a ritual for Pagan Pride Day last year. And actually, we are doing it again. And actually, we will be doing the story about Persephone, although it will come as a twist with it. And I do plan to record it, so you all get to see it.
I'm so looking forward to that, especially the twist. One of the first things I did, and I was in high school, and I wrote plays for the Greek mythology classes because I was saturated in Greek mythology by birth, growing up, and going to Greek parochial school. So I knew the myths better than my teachers did. So during the mythology classes, I used to write plays, and we stacked the plays out. So I wrote like Pygmalion, The Choice of Hercules, all sorts of plays, and I gave them all twists and made them a little bit different and show the myth in a new light and have people like think. So I'm looking forward to what you're going to do with the twist.
I'm kind of excited about it as well. Yeah, I'm kind of excited, and I hope it will all go well. I'm certain it will. We've done a good track record of that, so.
Well, thank you very much, Thomas. I will talk to you during the song break, so don't hang up. And what song are we listening to today?
Our midpoint musical interlude is Gaia's Twilight Calling.
Twilight Calling.
Ooh.
International Pagan Radio, a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week streaming radio station. We have informative Facebook page, interactive Facebook group, absorbing interviews with musicians, engaging shows with excellent hosts, and dynamic interviews with spiritual leaders. Come join us. We have the very best pagan music from around the world. We feature artists such as Dave the Bard, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, Elaine Silver, Izon, Brian Hinkey, Robin Renee, Fawn, and so many more. All available for your listening pleasure 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are also available on TuneIn Radio. So go to www.internationalpaganradio.com. It's all pagan, all the time.
Listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to the show.
We are back. I am Hercules.
And I'm your Catwoman from the moon, Athena Victory.
And this is Voice of Olympus on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. And tonight, we're talking about celestial lions, and we're recruiting catfolk for up-and-coming adventures, the Pride of Olympus and Temenos. And we spoke with Thomas Lionheart Punton, an old friend, and he's on board. And now we're going to talk to Tina Chandler, who I've also known for a very long time through Bookmooch and Facebook. Greetings, Tina. How are you?
How are you? Blessings. I'm so glad to talk to both of you.
Thank you.
Me too. It's been a long time. We met on Bookmooch, I think, many, many moons ago.
Many. The moon is too past repetitive, don't they?
Is that still around, Bookmooch?
I'm sorry?
Is that still around?
No, I haven't been on that for so long. So.
And Facebook, it's so great to be connected with you on Facebook. And you're incredibly awesome. And when I have vocational classes occasionally, I bring you up because it's always been your passion to be a roller derby queen. And I'm honored to know a roller derby queen. And, you know, you're a great individual, too. So why don't you tell us a little bit about this piece of your life?
Oh, the roller derby?
Yeah.
Well, being a child of the 80s, growing up, watching on television, the LA T-Birds, the Bronx Bombers, all that, I always wanted to be a very strong, I'm only 4'10", so I always wanted to be one of those strong women that took nothing and gave it back as good as they got. Well, it roller derby kind of died down, and then when we came back in the 1990s, it's been kind of growing. And I was introduced to it about 4 years ago. Actually, in 2006, in December, I was diagnosed with peripheral neuropathy. And it ended my ice skating career.
Ooh.
And I, unfortunately, I gave in to my disorder and my dis-ease. And it got to the point where I couldn't walk. And when I rediscovered, or actually I was given a flyer for roller derby, I said, you know what, it's going to hurt, but I need to do something. I said, this is what I need. This is what I need to do. And when I started out as fresh meat, you know, they call us minnows. I say I am tuna, so therefore
uh-huh.
I am sushi. So, when we get to the point where we're now playing on the team, or we're playing with the junior varsity, as it were, and we can pick a derby name. I chose the name Swat Cat because of the 1990s to 1993 Hanna-Barbera cartoon, The Swat Cats, which is it's an anthropomorphic world where it's all feline.
Awesome.
And the two main people are T-Bone and Razor. They're a pair of vigilante pilots doing what they can to fight crime, where the police and the enforcers or everything else can't do anything. They do it. So kind of like a Batman, more or less, except with two rough and rowdy pilots. So, and I really enjoy that because I feel like I'm flying on the track. And I said, you know, I would like to take the name Swat Cat. And I also have my derby helmet painted like the one on the show. So, and also when we go to derby events and things like that, I wear cat ears and I wear a cat tail.
Awesome.
And
so you let your cat nature out there. And you also like outer space and Star Trek and things like that, I know.
Oh, definitely, yes. I am part of the UFP group, USS Odyssey.
Awesome. And are you a cat there as well?
Yes. My character is one I kind of developed over the years and made myself. Thank you, Michael Okuda and family, for giving me inspiration about this, if I may. The character is a Mythgosian, and she is part of a people that are humanoid in appearance, but yet they have appearances of animals. And that is due to a civil war that basically almost destroyed every piece of life on Earth except the animals, and they knew they had to combine their DNA with animals, otherwise there wouldn't be any more. So my character has the ears and the tail, claws, fangs. She purrs. And she also has a bond mate, which is a Trask. And this animal comes to them when they hit puberty and basically fills in the parts that when they made the enhanced species of Mythgosian that were never able to be filled. And this is like the part of them that isn't there, the part of the soul, the part of the body, the part of the mind, the part of everything that fills it for them and helps them to get through puberty into adulthood and beyond. And her bondmate is a Trask. And a Trask is about twice as big as a Smilodon.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So this is how you express your cat nature. You express your cat nature through your sport, which is your profession, and also through your imaginal journeys into the larger Star Trek universe. So you're bringing that feline part of you out there. Is there any other way that you express the inner feline?
Well, other than trying to get along with the feral cats around here and working with feral cats in my neighborhood and in my local area,
awesome.
With cat rescue, yes. With my religious worship, I remember long ago, I learned to read at a very young age, and some of the first pictures I seen was that of Sekhmet, was the plate of Seti the first tomb, and then a red granite statue of Sekhmet, and I thought that was the most beautiful, most wonderful thing. I remember I used to I would pray to Sekhmet whenever I would get in trouble. I needed strength and courage. I grew up with a lot of bullying, unfortunately, and I just didn't find comfort in mainstream religion. So I just kind of read whatever I could of the Egyptian pantheon, including the cat goddesses, the Sekhmet and Bastet, and I just thought that they were like absolutely perfect. Why doesn't everybody worship them?
With me, I went to Greek parochial school, so I got both the old religion and the new religion, and I couldn't really identify with the new religion at all. But the old religion, you had lots of sons of the gods and daughters of the goddess, and they would go out and beat up monsters. So to my youthful mind, that was really, really cool. And a lot less gloomy than the new religion. So I gravitated toward that and I stayed there. I pretty much asked myself the same question too. Why do people stop for the most part? I am going to try to recruit you for several things and accept whatever you like, and we'll pass those. First, I'd like to invite you to come back on because today was like a little intro. But you have a very fascinating tale, and I would like to explore it more. So that's invitation number one.
Okay.
Invitation number two is we are starting or restarting our Pride of Olympus, and that's going to be a spin-off show, but it's also going to have a lot of real-world aspects, and it's going to focus on the ascensionist beliefs, the beliefs in human spiritual evolution. So I'm recruiting celestial cats for that. I'm also recruiting celestial cats for our Temenos, which is the same as a Nemeton or a sacred space. And we're doing something with Starfleet International that's mythic, and it's involving a storyline, but we're going to have a ship in Starfleet International. So I'd like that manned and womaned by cosmic lions as well. So you're welcome to all of those.
I'm honored.
Oh, fantastic.
I would definitely be honored. Wow.
So that is something we will do together then, and it'll give us an opportunity to interact more instead of just on book trading sites and Facebook. So that's pretty cool.
And maybe if the gods favor us so much, we'll actually meet in person one day.
That would be incredibly awesome. And If our plans work out the way we are envisioning them, we should be traveling around the country in a few years. So that's definitely a possibility.
Oh,
now, Tina,
so
how can folks – that would be awesome. How could folks find out about you and all the wonderful things you're doing?
Well, you can either friend me on Facebook and mention that you heard me through this particular show, just Tina Chandler, or you can email me at USS71832@yahoo.com.
Very awesome. Thank you so much for being a guest. I'm looking forward to the next time you're on. And I will put you with our Lionheart in the chat room, and you guys can chat.
Oh, great. Okay.
Because you'd started, and I interrupted you. So sorry. Thanks again, Tina. Have a wonderful day.
Oh, you too. Bye, Tina.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And we have one more celestial cat today, Lily Bright K. El Teto. So I will say hi to Lily now. Greetings, Lily. How are you?
Friendly bat from Lily Cat.
So you are also somebody with a feline spirituality. So why don't you tell us a bit about your tale?
Oh, good God. Well... the way I kind of began to awaken a little more as feline started when I was much younger. Before age 10, I thought I hated cats, because I didn't understand their body language quite as well yet. And I thought that when they closed their eyes tight, that they were mad at me. But I learned much later that that was actually a feline equivalent to an affectionate kiss. But then one day when I was 10 years old in hominid, my brothers brought home an all black half Siamese cat from a party. And she was one of those shy and sensitive four-legged people that ran away from everything, including her own shadow. And I saw her, and I'm going, I am going to win that cat's trust. And what I did was I locked her in a room with me. Every time that she made a sound, I mimicked her as closely as I could. So if she went, meow, I went, meow, right back. And with time, she felt safe to come and approach me. And she purred for me. And it formed a fast friendship. And because I was also a very shy cat, other than one hominid best friend of my own age, Cleo Girl was one of the defining entity with personality, one of the persons I spent the most time with. And after a while, we began to kind of merge and, you know, a little bit empathically. And by the time I was about 12 and busy being bullied, as a lot of shy kids are at school, I felt confused on multiple levels, and one of them was I didn't feel entirely human anymore.
I've never felt entirely human.
And then I began, I was 17 when I realized, after my little girl Cleo had fallen off, my feline companion had fallen off the roof in our backyard, that if I rolled my R's and made a steady sound like this, that I could kind of make a purring sound.
Uh-huh.
That's a very good purr.
That is a very good purr.
Thank you. And I figure, well, you know, her purr makes me feel better. Maybe if I purr for her, it will help her feel better and speed her healing a little bit. And it did. The mashed hot dogs in melted butter probably didn't do any damage either, but I think my purring to her helped.
Yeah, more than a hot dog, yes. So you really integrated the feline into your being, and you've become, you know, feline in more than just feeling.
Yes. Yes. I have.
That must make life very interesting for you.
Oh, it makes my life very, very interesting. And my poor canines have gotten used to my calling them my barking kittens.
Oh, I can't tell you how many times I've called Zena her Chihuahua kitty.
She grew up with a bunch of cats, so she knows how to meow. So every now and then we are meowing, and it's Zena.
It's a Chihuahua.
Well, you know, I learned recently about an ancestor that the cat, the dog, and even the squirrel have in common, that it's called the miacid. It's an ancestor to all carnivores.
Yep.
All non-hominid carnivores. And I read about that. I'm going, well, that explains Yorkies. Because we had a Yorkie that when he wanted to get your attention, he'd go, it sounded so much like a purr. I'm like, yeah.
Have you met any other cat people in your wanderings?
I have met a couple of them. My foster mother is actually one of her given names is Cat. And she's made it part of her personality too. We meow and such back and forth quite a lot, and she calls me her kitten. I think
that's great that you have that level of acceptance and affection. That's awesome.
Yeah. I think one of the ways I'm different is because I lived with someone who was a channel for 4 years, and such. He channeled my cat, and on occasion, and sometimes she would come through right as we were at a science fiction and fantasy convention together to check up on me. And so what I learned through that, on top of what I already had, was a sort of dialect I call Catlish.
That's funny.
A cat, an English acculturated cat here will use purry for everything good. And try telling your cat, if you have one, that she's a purry kitty, and see what the response is.
Usually the eyes closing and more purring.
Wow. Okay. So anyway, let me know if you have any other questions before.
Yes, I do. I'm going to invite you to a bunch of things. So I am recruiting cosmic cats for some of our projects. So we have several you might be interested in. It's okay if you're not interested, though.
Mm-hmm.
One is for Pride of Olympus. And yes, the pun is intended, because a bunch of lions is a pride. This is going to focus on ascension, apotheosis, a lot of cosmic spirituality. So it sounds like you're tapped into that very deeply through the channeling and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is for Temenos, which is our sacred space. And the third thing is for Star Trek.
Uh-huh.
We're doing something with Starfleet International, so I'm recruiting lions and other cosmic cats for the vessel that we're going to have to have that adventure. So you're welcome to participate in that if you'd like as well. And what is your spirituality? Does the cat come into your spirituality too?
Oh, I would say so, but it's not really separate from the rest of it, if that makes sense.
I understand. Yes, I understand. That makes perfect sense.
It's like my life doesn't fall
into boxes either.
I getcha. Well, you know, I combine a lot of influences, but for me, I operate now based less on rigid sets of beliefs as I do life events that happen to include psychic and mystical elements.
That is
so
awesome.
Yeah. So that's really it's like yeah. Are you familiar with the term exoteric versus
Yes. Esoteric? Yes.
Yeah. You could.
We practice a form of Theosophia and Theuria, which is more ancient forms of it. They came out during the Greco-Egyptian cultural blendings in the Mediterranean, and some elements go even further back to the Phoenicians and to the Stone Age. But yes, we're very deeply into esoteric matters.
Cool. Yeah. I would say that my approach is a little bit, it would tend towards esoteric between those two labels. It's not as intellect-based as some esoteric.
Understood.
Yeah. a lot through the crown chakra rather than the forebrain, if that makes, you know.
That makes sense, but that's a whole different discussion. So I'll have you on to talk about that if you'd like,
cool.
Because those are areas that we're going to be moving into by September. So
cool.
How can folks get in contact with you, Lily?
Yes. I will gladly accept emails through anyone who writes me at sunflame1000@yahoo.com. And so sun, like the sun in the sky, flame1000@yahoo.com. I'm also on Facebook, Lily Bright KL Teto. Very good pronunciation, by the way.
Well, thank you.
is my Facebook name, and the city and state is Portland, Oregon. If someone contacts me personally via sunflame1000@yahoo.com, I will also gladly, if we connect well, give my postal mail.
Very awesome.
Cool.
I want to thank you for coming on, and I look forward to having you on again. And
yay.
I'm excited. I got three more cosmic cats involved in some of the things we're doing. So I will talk to you soon, most probably on Facebook next, Lily. Have a wonderful evening.
You too. Meow.
Meow. I'm gonna put you in the chat room with the others, and then I'll join you there after we close the show. That was pretty awesome.
Very interesting, very interesting. And I couldn't help but be amused when she said she was coming from Portland, Oregon, and she's a cat person because it's grim. That must be very odd for anyone who's your shapeshifter or identifies with an animal totem to be in Portland, Oregon.
Write that in the notes. Next time Lily's on, we'll have to
ask her about grim.
Ask her about that. So what is next for us, dear Athena?
Well, we are going to go to the Cresco Public Library on Thursday, July 28th, and Hercules is going to teach time travel techniques.
Yes, and we will also be setting up for some of our activities later on in the year, like now our Seven Heavens is a regular at the Amber Dragon, so we'll be having that once a month, And we are also going to be changing the things that we do at the Crestal Public Library to include more meditation and experiential type of techniques. And how can folks find out more about us, Athena?
For more information on Hercules and Athena, visit our website at www.herculesinvictus.net. For contact and community, visit us on Facebook at Hercules Invictus, Mythic Atlantis, or the Voice of Olympus. Hercules and Athena are also available for Olympian workshops, mythic activities, as well as epic special events and appearances.
Indeed, that is true. And our next show, we're going to have Janet Sitchin, who is the niece of Zachariah Sitchin, and she's carrying on his traditional legacy, and we'll be talking about the Anunnaki Chronicles. I'm excited about that. I've been a fan of Sitchin for years.
Yeah, it's fascinating stuff. It really is.
Well, thank you for joining us. We look forward to having you join us again. This is Hercules Invictus.
And Athena Victory.
And this is the Voice of Olympus. And we're signing off. Joyous journeys and have a wonderful week.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.